Word of Faith Ministries, establishing the kingdom of God and changing lives with the message of faith and the grace of Jesus Christ with a practical, biblical, and balanced teaching you can trust.
Well, good. Let's get started. Lord, we love you. We give you thanks. We worship you because you are trustworthy. We come together and say how good your word is, that every brethren be together. We see examples in the Bible of when children of God were united and the power of God was manifested. We saw the day of Pentecostal when everyone was united and together, and to each and one of them gave a partition of the Holy Spirit. And it's not an exception today, because your word says that when one or two are together, there you are. So thank you for your presence, for your anointing over every one of us, for the word that is being imparted, that it renews our mind and changes our way of thinking. It removes any heavy weights and makes the way lighter, and we see everything in a divine perspective. Thank you for this place where we unite to receive from you, to praise you and worship you, to unite and see your glory in manifestation. We love you and we give you thanks in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. So today we're going to start a new series, and it's in form of a question. Who is the one who loves me? I think it's good that sometimes we go to the words and see what the Lord expects of us as His children. As the children of God, we always want what's best. But have we ever asked ourselves, what does God want from me? What does He expect? We say the grace has paid for everything, but we also want to say the grace has also been abused. And if grace did everything, is there something else I need to do? Not in seeking for love or anything, but in retribution of what He did. Or maybe, why am I not seeing the manifestations of that grace? Could it be that I'm not understanding something or acting on something? That the word says that I need to be a doer of the word and not just a listener. Maybe something's failing. Maybe I'm not understanding something. I'm in the best disposition to do it and to have a retribution of gratefulness. But it's good to make that question. You that know that knowledge of the word, and we don't claim to know everything, but yes, of understanding, what could we say about Jesus? What does He represent? If someone asked you, what would you say? What does Jesus represent? If someone says Jesus Christ, or someone says the Lord Jesus, or someone says the Lord, what comes to our mind, to our hearts? He's the one who set us free, our healer, grace, the love of the Lord. Jesus equals healer, peace, freedom, grace, our Redeemer, our Savior, the one who prospers us. That's what Jesus represents, and many more things. I think we could all say minimum three or four things, what we know that Jesus represents, that we have the conviction that that's what He is. And it's good that we understand it. But it should be in everything. Not only wanting to receive from the Lord, but to understand and have revelation that it's for us, so that we can connect with that grace, with that healing, with that salvation, with that restoration, with that prosperity. How can I make it mine? Because that's what Jesus represents. But why does the world not see that? In fact, Why do many children, in fact, if this is Jesus, and not in as a doubt, but if this is Jesus, why doesn't everyone see it like this? Why doesn't everyone receive it and enjoy it in all of these ways? There's something. So that's all. He is that. Believe it, people or not, Jesus is peace. He is joy. He is love and prosperity and restoration and many more things. He is the giver of life. But what happens? Why do many not live it? And let's leave the world aside right now. Not that they don't matter, but as the word says, he gave his son so that everyone could have an eternal life. But let's leave the world outside and we'll insert them later in the equation. Why do many children of God, they don't see or they don't enjoy Jesus as their Savior, as their peace, as their restorer, the one who prospers? What's happening? Is it God's fault? Is it that Jesus isn't backing his word? It's impossible for him to pull back from the word and those descriptions that we have said, because he is that. We could say God is love, but if he is love, love can't separate from him. If Jesus is our healing, because he is our healer, because of his stripes we were healed, it's impossible for him to pull away from that natural healing that he is. It's impossible for Jesus to pull from that natural joy of life and peace that he is. It's impossible. So understanding that, so Jesus is not the problem. He is our prosperer. He is our joy, our peace, our everything. He is the one that completes everything. So what is he? Who is he? Well, we're going to see it. Let's go over to John. But before keep going, we're going to insert the world back. We removed them earlier, but now let's insert them back. The world can be participant of that natural way of Jesus. They can. Healing is always available. Salvation is always available. Love, peace, joy are always available, but they're not always received. Amen? And that's for us as children of God, that this is always available, but it's not always received. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son for everyone to have eternal life. For God so loved the world who gave his only son so that everyone who believed in him. And then we start the process, because believing brings us to a process, right? And that's for you guys. You believe what the word says, and you'll begin to confess it and then act upon it. And we'll start to see his divine natural nature. John 14, verse 21. Who is the one that loves me? We're going to identify ourselves if we claim to love Jesus, or we claim to do it but don't do it. If we claim to do it, we're going to recognize if we love him in according to the word, or if we love him to our own understanding or our own conditions. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. So, let's see detailedly what the world says. He who has my commandments and keeps them. From where do we obtain the commandments of God? From his word. He's not speaking of commandments that were given back in and back to Moses during the law, that doesn't apply to us because we're in the pact of grace. Now, what applies to us is what Jesus paid for us. It's about love and loving our neighbors. And walking in love is inserted directly or indirectly everything that was given to Moses. We're not discarding it, but everything that was given in the law was also zipped into one. Because if I love someone, I'm not going to steal from them. I'm not going to loathe them, what he or she may have. But to put everything together is love. How beautiful is it that the Lord loves us? He made it so easy. You see how it's the children of God who complicate things and make things confusion. It's simple. We walk in love, and we're not giving a kick to the Ten Commandments. And it wasn't even 10, it was hundreds of them. We're not discarding them. We're inserting them in love. So the commandments of love, what is in His Word, that's what applies to us. He who has my commandments and keeps them. What does keep them mean? The one who acts them, obeys them, and does them. He is the one who loves me. So if I say that I walk in love, you're going to visibly see that I walk in love. Because he who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. If I say that I walk by faith, it needs to be noticeable that I walk by faith. Because the Bible says that the just will walk by faith. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father. So, okay, we love everyone, we love our neighbors and the world in the love of the Lord because we walk in the commandments of the Lord. We're walking in line with the Word. You can see it. There's fruits of it. So you can see that we are loved by the Father. And it says, it's Jesus saying, I will love him and I will manifest myself. It's like a pact. Do you see it? I keep the word. I do it. So I'm showing that I love the Lord. And the Lord sees that I keep his word and his love that was given is manifested. And not only that, but now that Jesus is manifesting himself. So we'll see it right now. How? Where it says, and I will manifest myself to him. What question did I ask? What does Jesus represent? If someone asks you, what does Jesus mean? Who is he? What does he represent? This is exactly what it is. And I will manifest myself to him. What love, joy, peace, life, prosperity, healing, restoration, and everything that Jesus paid. That is what Jesus wants to do for us. Manifest himself through us. Everything. In other words, the Lord is saying, if you do what the Word says, you're not just doing it, but you're also showing it that you love the Father, and that in that way, it's a retribution, and not only will He retribute in that, but He'll also show His love and manifest Himself. Everything He did, all the finished work of the Lord will be manifested. There will be a constant fruit of it. The blessings of life, prosperity will be manifested in your lives. Insert there every other promise in there. Amen? How many of you have gone to the Lord when you're in a difficult decision? I think everybody raises their two hands and their feet. Me, I have done it. Now ask yourself, because we're in line to what the word is saying, he who has my commandments and keeps them is he who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father. What I want to accomplish with this is for you to be one in your heart and for be impregnated in you that the Father loves you, and that when you act on the word, that action of love, action of word, is that causes for the love to manifest himself in everything in which he already paid. If you need peace, you call, you claim it. If you claim healing, that's when it's going to be manifested. It has to be impregnated in you, as in how you show with your actions, it's noticeable and visible that you love the Lord, that you are a son or daughter of God. And it's so evident because we don't have to be in public saying, I love God, I love God, I love God. You can see it. You can see it. And maybe situations will come, but it'll be visible because we keep seeing the word. Because the word has no option to manifest himself when we keep obeying it. How huge of a security we have here. We act on the word, and the word has no option but to show up. Sometimes it delays. Yes. But that's what causes for us to not grow in discouragement, but to keep going forward because we know it works. In one way or another, we have come to the Lord in a difficult situation. Now ask yourself, when you have gone to the Lord, have you come in desperation, in fear, in anxiety, in fear, in anger, demanding, or in love? I think sometimes we have been causer of, or it's not his fault. Lord, until when? Lord, help me. In desperation and fear, there's no faith. There's no faith. And we want God to respond immediately, now. We want him to respond now. But how do we come to him? God isn't fear, so he can't connect with fear. God isn't unbelief, so he can't connect to unbelief. He isn't doubt, so he cannot connect to doubt. God is not demanding, as in, I deserve it. So he cannot relate to that attitude. He can't connect to faith. There could be fear and maybe a doubt in your mind because the devil will come and put that situation in your mind, reminding you of the problem and the situation. But you can be surely confident that whatever is in your heart is true, it will manifest itself in your life. It's not because who you are, but it's who's in you. Because God will back your faith. He will stand behind you. He'll not back your fear or undeserving attitudes, but he respects and backs up faith. So we have to align our attitudes, examine ourselves. The promise is that he will manifest himself. So what we have to do is make sure that when we come to him, we come in faith, knowing that us who keep his commandments, we will have that, and I will manifest myself. How many times after we came to the Lord, let's assume we did it by faith. we're going to see both sides of the coin. We come by faith to the Lord when we're believing and we're maintaining ourselves in the promises. We're receiving what we were believing. And how many children of God really maintain that closeness with the Lord after receiving what they were believing? So, now turn it. How many children of God, after receiving, don't maintain themselves? Sadly, there are many children of God that when they see the blessings of God, they see what they were believing. They saw how good the Lord is. They saw the favor of manifestation and how they have whatever they needed. They lessen that passion for the Lord. They lack that interest now because now they have what they wanted. And unconsciously act as if they no longer needed God. And then another situation comes and they come to the Lord in fear. Not faith necessarily. In desperation is how they're going to come. There's not going to be faith. And God does not back up fear and doubt. He's going to shake us up with His word, but we have to align ourselves. Amen? So we're in John 14. Let's go over to chapter 22. And he who keeps my word, and we will come together and we will make a housing with him. And he who doesn't guard my word does not love me. And he who it isn't clear as clear. If someone says, I love the Lord with all my heart, my Lord, my Lord, and you see they don't have no interest, they don't have that passion for the word, they don't act on what the word says, their love is only by mouth. To what we see here is that they don't love God. And God isn't obligated to manifest himself to them. He's obligated to manifest to those who keep his word. Because he has bonded and tied together that obligation. If he says that he's going to manifest himself to he who keep him, and he's not a man to lie and neither a man to repent. But that should be something that to keep us forward, because we know that if we keep going, he will manifest himself. He has to. And those promises that we're maintaining on, he has to manifest himself because it's written. But I have to assure myself that I am loving the Lord in his word. He who loves me keeps my commandments. So Jesus is not impressed by, I love God, I love God. Oh, how much I love you, Lord. It's not bad that we express it. But what really ministers to him is that we act on his word. And we can say, in fact, it reminds us, if I say that I love God, there needs to be corresponding actions and not just say it. And John 14, 24, he who does not love me does not keep my words. Here, it identifies, or it makes it easy for us to identify if we really love or don't love the Lord. And keeping and guarding his word or not, it doesn't matter what we do, but we'll be able to see it. Because we don't need to yell to the four winds that we love him. Our acts will speak for themselves. The Lord manifesting himself to us will speak for us. Doesn't that remove pressure from you? The only thing I have to do is act on the word. How many times have we seen people who have grown close to the Lord in a situation and it resolves, but they don't come back to Him? They grow apart. They live their life as they have in the past, and they grew closer to the Lord, but now they received it, so they go back to their ways. And if that problem wasn't solved, their heart grows even harder. They grow even more further. Some received and grew far, and some didn't receive and they grew even farther apart. Was it God? No. According to what we saw, this should bring a purpose to us, knowing that God never fails. And if He doesn't fail, we need to examine ourselves. Because if I come to the Lord and I maintain myself in faith, and I received or didn't receive, was it the Lord? No. If I say I was in faith, I know I was in faith. I know it. And that, or that what you were believing for didn't manifest Himself, something happened. It wasn't God. Something happened. And that's where you and I have to examine ourselves always. What's happening? Does that mean that if someone is believing for something and it hasn't shown up, does it mean that we're wrong? Not necessarily, because walking in faith is a process. Because it's true that there is an enemy that comes to contend with us, to cause a resistance to our faith. So if we're believing for something, you just need to examine yourself and make sure that you're not causing a short circuit with your way of speaking or a way of acting. It's good to examine in our ways to make sure that there's no obstacles causing that manifestation. Right now, if you're believing for something, sustain yourself. Maintain yourself. Don't grow apart and don't close out your heart. Proverbs. People want to live their life however they want, and they don't take the Lord into account, and they want to live their life however they see fit, however they consider the best, because they claim to know everything, especially if they have experience in something. It's hard to understand something. I've spoken to doctors who have said, I've struggled in the past to understand the word, to understand the teaching, because of the natural knowledge of medicine that I had. It was hard for me. It was hard for me to see that Jesus was healer when I saw medicine and science. Sometimes studies can't cause an obstacle for scientists. But the Bible is not meant to be discerned by the mind, by the spirit. Proverbs 19, verse 3. The foolishness of the man twists his way, and his heart frets against the Lord. What is that causes for the way of the man to twist? God? No. The foolishness of man. The not understanding of God. To be trustworthy of your own opinion. That's what causes our ways to twist. But for those people to auto-justify it, is that their heart frets against God. Things don't turn out how they want it, and they say, it was God. God didn't do this. God didn't help me in this. It's not God. It says the foolishness. Them believing that they think they know everything. It says, me, me, me. That's what causes them. And it's not okay because it's not God's fault. And it's not okay for them to grow farther. How is it God's fault that they twisted their heart? And they need to untwist it by coming back to the Word. Amen? So right now, if you have been foolish and stubborn and have trusted yourself more than God, it's time for you to repent and come back to the Lord. It doesn't matter how much understanding we have. This morning, one of my daughters asked me, what does a bachelor's degree, a master's degree have to do? It's just titles and ranges and what they're studying, and it just keeps piling. But in this time, the more we know, they know sometimes in the natural, the farther apart from the Lord they grow. And I'm just speaking on how the enemy has pulled things into the natural, and sometimes how more university they have, the more atheist they come. Have you ever encountered that? So don't be that person. Don't be foolish. The experience of the world doesn't give us the knowledge of the Word. On the contrary, the wisdom from the Word is what helps us deal with the world. Let's go over to Jeremiah 10:23. I know the way of man is not in himself, and it is not in man who walks to direct his own steps. O Lord, I know the way of the man, and it is not himself. If you claim to be a man of the Lord, your steps need to be guided by the Lord. Proverbs 3:6 says that if we recognize him in all our ways, he will untwist our ways. He will straighten our ways. Amen? Recognize him always. To acknowledge him always, always, always. And it's very little people who recognize that it's their doubt, their lack of faith, their lifestyle, and their foolishness who has set them in those difficult situations they are now. It's easier to lay fault on God. It's easier to say someone else is at fault. It's easier to blame the situations rather than take responsibility and say, how can I change this? Years ago, we were in a conference in LA, and Anthony and the pastor were in the market, went to a supermarket, and they were offering a membership or discounts or anything. And we knew that we were going to be traveling often. So we filled out the little card. And Anthony was about maybe 9 or 10. And the pastor said, son, you fill out the little card with the information. And it was a little piece of paper that had a bunch of square boxes that you fill out. So Anthony started filling out. And the pastor told me about this when he came back. And he said, when we were in that supermarket and I told Anthony to fill out that paper and you couldn't tell what he was writing because they were writing my information, you couldn't even understand the eight. And I said, son, look, you can't even understand the writing. And he said, Papi, it's the pen that doesn't let me write. And the pastor says, really, Anthony? It's the pen that doesn't let you write correctly? It's the pen that doesn't let you do a good eight? It's easier to blame something instead of saying, oh, I didn't close that eight right, or I didn't understand it right. Or I didn't believe according to the Word. I didn't maintain myself in the word. It wasn't me who fluctuated. It was me who I spoke unbelief. One day I spoke the word, and one day I spoke unbelief. And in the mornings, I was up and running, and the next day I was all saddened. It was easier to say, nothing happened. It was the pen. It's the heat. It's that. It's this. It's that. It was the pen who didn't let Anthony close out that 8. And I'm not exposing him, but saying, putting a practical example. And it's right. Instead of saying, it was me. It was me who fluctuated. It was me who didn't maintain. It was me who fell into unbelief, that I got desperate because things didn't come quickly. It's easier to blame something. It's easier to lay the fault on the Lord. All those times I was praying, for what? For what if I didn't see anything? No, it's because it was us who changed our attention. We shifted that attention. And we didn't maintain focused. And when we woke up and prayed for those 2 hours, and yes, we did it by faith. And then we put it into his face that I woke up for 2 hours. It's because we weren't doing it by faith. We were doing it in our own strength, in our auto justification, in dead acts. And nothing happened. Who says nothing happened? We didn't understand. In that moment, we didn't understand that resistance came from the devil. And what we should have done was to persist in the act of faith. Because resistance came and we gave up, and now it's God's fault. No, the devil is going to come and contend for what is his. So who has to maintain himself? Us. Because if I maintain, I know the Lord will manifest to my favor. 2 hours, 3 hours. What is it for a life of glory that we will have if we maintain? 3 months, 6 months, praying and believing. And what? If it indicates that we're going to live a full life. Why do we have to throw it in his face how much we pray? Isn't our time seed? Seed sometimes delays in growing. But when you see the fruit, it's unstoppable. When you see that tree, it's so small. But when it grows, it gives fruit. Unless you don't take care of it, it will die. The Lord will manifest if you keep persisting. It's true. The enemy brings difficult situations. We're not going to deny them. They are. But the word says that is he not greater than he who is in the world? Doesn't that push us to keep growing and dedicate more time? Especially when we have just seen that he is going to manifest himself, when you have just seen his word. Glory to God. This is good for us. So, I know you remember, the pastor was speaking about three reasons about suffering. And when he was speaking on that, I was giving notes because I'm helping him for our study guides. And from here, the Lord brought this word that I'm giving to you. So in these minutes that we have, we're going to discuss the reasons of suffering in the world. And the word is which one? Which is the first reason of suffering? The enemy. And I want to clarify that it's not my intention to attack or accuse, but to make a conscience to correct or change. And we say, oh, it's the devil. It's not the pen. It wasn't the pen who didn't write that 8 correctly. It was a lack of effort. That lack of effort. It wasn't the pen. Say it with me. It wasn't the pen. So it's not my intention to accuse anyone, to condemn you, but to make conscience, to correct what we are lacking so that we can close that eight. The first reason is the enemy. John 10:10. The thief does not come except to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. The Lord says that he has come for us to have a life and live it abundantly. So now we understand what Jesus represents. And in that abundant life, we need to see what Jesus represents. Peace, love, prosperity, healing. But brothers, certainly it is the enemy. And Jesus advised us and warned us that we will have afflictions. But how many times is it our responsibility? How many times have you allowed the devil to steal, to kill? He has killed your dreams, your will to live. He has destroyed your vision. He has destroyed the plans the Lord gave you. He's not just speaking about physically killing you. He also kills dreams. He destroys homes. How many of you have allowed for him to steal your joy, your marriage, your family, even time? And the Bible says in Ephesians 4:27, do not give space to the devil. But he will do what we allow him to do. Because once we allow the enemy, because the Bible says that once the stealer is discovered, he has to return to us seven times fold. So when this is discovered and we say, this is not from God, what do? To contradict it. Do we let it or do we just stay? It's okay. We become all sad because nothing happened. Who came to kill your time? To steal your time? Whom did you allow to take your dreams? The devil can sometimes even use your family. One comment, an opinion. He can use an opinion of one person to destroy your goals, your plans. So first, it's important that we understand what plans God has, what he wants us to do, what he has given us, what vision he has laid in our heart to seek from the Lord and see what he wants us to start, a business or something what we're believing from the Lord. And when we discover the enemy, stop him immediately and never allow him to even take time. Because many delay, they procrastinate in doing something. And that is stealing time, stealing illusions. Because we're in a life cycle that we're unproductive. That's a sign that the enemy came to steal something and you're allowing it. So we come to blame the pen again when it wasn't the pen. We come to blame the devil when it wasn't him. He was already discovered. If he was already discovered, you have the authority to stop him. The Lord has given us the authority over all things, all forces of the enemy. But children of God stay quiet, blaming the pen, blaming the enemy, blaming circumstances, blaming, blaming, blaming. They stay focused on blaming than on how the Lord guides us to restore. What are you allowing? What are you allowing to happen in your life? Remember, it's not my intention to condemn you, but to bring a conscience to change and correct. Look at what 2 Timothy 3:16. all scripture is given by God, by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. This is what we want to do. Correct, instruct, reproof, teach, to bring the conscience, to remove excuses. So every time something comes to mind saying, it's not the pen, I have authority. It's not the pen, I have authority. And Satan, I tie you up and I tie up your works. I repent from allowing this to happen. I repent from allowing the devil to take my dreams, from allowing the devil to take the vision the Lord has laid in my heart. I repent from allowing the devil to remove that plan from my life. It's not the pen. And now I correct it in Jesus' name. I take authority over this situation. I take control over my life. And I come. If you were praying in the Spirit, now pray more and give him a slap in the face, letting him know that he has no authority over you. Be a man and a woman who is wise with an anointing, who is someone who doesn't let themselves be guided by feelings. Luke, I think we're only going to be able to see that first reason, but this will help us to maintain ourselves and maintain authority over the enemy. Luke 46:46. But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what things which I say? Why do you say that you love me and still don't do what the word says? You see how they connect themselves with the one we saw first? Whomever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you whom he is like. And here we're going to identify ourselves with something. And connecting with something doesn't mean we're going to stay there. And maybe we can reinforce it. But if we're in the wrong, we can change it. 48. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently against that house and could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. 49. But he who heard and did nothing is like a man who was built the house on earth without foundation, against which the stream beat, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of the house was great. I'm going to read it to you in this way now. Because it says, why do you love me, Lord, Lord, and not do things which I say? Jesus is saying, you're telling me that I'm your Lord, that I'm the owner of your life, that I'm your healer, that I'm your joy, your prosper, your restoration, your peace, but you're not doing what the word says and allowing the devil to steal peace, allowing the devil to steal healing when I have given you authority. This is what the Lord is trying to say. Didn't I say in my word that I gave you authority to step on all snakes and all acts of the enemy and nothing will harm you? But you have allowed it and you call me Lord, Lord, but you don't do what is written in my word. So now I'm going to tell you to what you look like when you don't do my word. I'm paraphrasing the Lord. I'm not adding to the Bible. Everyone who comes to me and hears my words, this is how you look. This is how I see them. He is like a man who dug deep and went deep into the land and made sure that that foundation was firm and strong and laid it on the rock. He built it until he made sure that that foundation was not going to be loose. Because when the hurricane and the problems come, and those rivers come of sadness, of sickness, they don't move. Because they're so firm that they lay their faith on the rock. This is how I see you. But the one who says, Lord, Lord, and does not do what I say, this is how I see them. The one who heard and continues with their ideas and trusting himself and not renewing their mind and trusting the riches of the world and continuing with attitudes and continuing with their ways of thinking is the same as a man who laid that house on land without foundation, and the problems came and situations came and the enemy came and they fell. And their ruins were as big, and they blame me. Right? You see how I connected everything? Wow. We hear, but we continue with the same own ideas. What do we hear? The word, but we keep trusting ourselves. We hear, but we keep trusting our bachelor's degree. We hear, but we trust our work. We hear the word, but we continue listening to our family and opinions. We listen, but then we make a deaf ear. That's why we don't grow. That's why we don't keep going. That's why there's no accomplishments, because we're just fluctuating. And we blame the pen, the enemy, or the Lord. It wasn't my fault. I prayed. I woke up early. I prayed in tongues. I went to church. I tithe. I gave my offerings. And it doesn't cause an impression to God that we go to church necessarily, or that we pray 3 hours, or for us to sow, if there is no faith. If we go just to go, he's not impressed. If we tithe just to tithe, he's not impressed. If we sow just to sow, he's not impressed. He is impressed the faith that is backed by us going to church. The faith that is backed by sowing and tithing. Our prayer, that is what he's impressed by. He's not impressed by how pretty or how nice we dress. He's not even impressed by all the titles and accomplishments you have. Amen? Which of these are you? You're going to identify yourselves. And maybe you'll say, I'm the one who heard but didn't do. I can change. Or maybe you're the one who heard and founded your house on that foundation. You can keep reinforcing it. Because in the Lord, he has no limits. So we can keep reinforcing ourselves. Because the strong winds will come, the waters and the rivers and the attacks will come. But you and I will keep reinforcing in the rock that is the Word of God. Jesus and his Word are that rock. Amen? Which of those of you are you? These days, meditate and see, examine, and study again, and see what the Lord tells you who you are. If you keep maintaining yourself, he will manifest. One verse, one more verse, the first letter of John, chapter 5, verse 3. Maybe next time we'll be able to finish up with 2 and 3. 1 John 5, 3. For this is the love of God. Check out what this love is. How we show that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome. I think the New International Version says that they're not hard to keep. Oh, it's super hard going to church. It's super hard to pray. Not according to what the Bible says. It's our mind that makes things difficult and complicated. To what God is concerned, He made sure that we keep His commandments and not make it burdensome for us. He made them easy because everything is based on the love of the Lord. How simple, how practical, and how effective is it? Amen? Glory to God. The Lord is going to give you the answer to everything. What does the promise say? In what promise is He basing Himself? Don't repeat the problem, repeat the promise. Don't repeat the problem, repeat the promise. You're believing for healing? Continue repeating and establishing that healing. You're believing for a job? Keep confessing the Lord supplies all my needs. Whatever it is you're believing, maintain yourself in the word, and the Lord will manifest Himself. Amen. I trust that you...
Were you ministered and were you fed with the Word of God? Then we give you the opportunity to do so online tonight, or in this day, or whenever you are listening to us. The Word of God says in Galatians 6, verse 6 and 7, let him who is taught the Word share in all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. In those same verses, but in the New Living Translation, those who are taught the Word of God should provide for their teachers, sharing all good things with them. Don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. So in this case, we are speaking of Word of Faith Ministries, which teaches you the Word. Now, verse 7, New Living Translation, don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant. So when a person is constantly fed with the Word of God, they should respond. Why? Because it is good for you. This is good for you. This is good for you yourself, because when you sow the Word out of thankfulness, then you will reap. And at the same time, you help us, or you help that person who is being fed, in this case, from Word of Faith Ministries, to be taken farther. If Word of Faith Ministries does not feed you spiritually, then pray to the Lord to direct you or someone else and to another ministry to where you can be fed. But from where you are fed, the honorable is that you sow in that Word. The Bible says that God gives to the sower. There is no such thing as, oh, I don't have or I can't. That's true. The Bible says that God gives seed to the sower and bread for food. So if you start believing by faith, the laws of faith are, Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I ask seed to sow. I believe that I receive it and thank you for it. And from then on, every single day, thank you, Father, that you give me seed to sow. Miraculously, God will provide seed. We've lived it for those who believe in this. We've lived it time and time again. And we've experienced it time and time again. Time again. I agree with you in this day, in the moment of sowing. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I thank you for those who will participate in sowing and reaping. I call an abundant harvest, a hundredfold return. We believe we receive this in agreement in prayer. Thank you. Thank you that your word is true. And thank you that we see prosperity in the lives of your children, in those who will sow, in those who will give. In this moment, we thank you. And we agree. And you know what? Nothing. You will lack nothing. And not only you will lack nothing, you will come out of debt. Not only will you come out of debt, you will prosper in the way of God. You will prosper according to the way of God. When that harvest comes now, be wise, seek wisdom. Don't spend Get out of debt. God wants you free of debt. And he wants you very prosperous to finance the gospel of the kingdom. God bless you greatly.
We hope you have enjoyed today's teaching brought to you by Word of Faith Ministries. For more information about our ministry, contact us at 480-458-8618 or visit our website, mpfccc.org.
Be the first to be notified of our latest streamings by subscribing to our YouTube channel, Word of Faith Ministries. Don't forget to like, comment, and share.